Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 1252, slide. Visible translated text is as follows. 210 apparently having a sort of conversation, and I overheard Mr. Rosser say, "Why, it is preposterous. A man who would have done such a deed must be full of scratches and marks, and his clothing must be bloody." I imagine Mr. Rosser must have had an inkling that they were suspicious of me, and as soon as I heard that, I turned and jumped up and showed them my underclothing and my top shirt and my body. I bared it to them all that came within the range of their vision. I had everything I opened to them, and all they had to do was to look and see it. After that, Mr. Rosser insisted that two of the detectives, Mr. Black and another detective, accompany Mr. Haas, Mr. Herbert Haas, and myself to my home and look over my soiled clothing for the past week, which I anticipated had not been given to the washwoman. They complied with this request. Mr. Black and another detective and Mr. Haas and myself went over to the corner of Hunter and Washington Streets and caught the Washington Street car and rode to Georgia Avenue and went to my home, and on this car my mother-in-law was sitting, returning to her home from town. On reaching 68 East Georgia Avenue, I found there my wife's grandmother, Mrs. Cohen, and my father-in-law, Mr. Selig. The detectives immediately went upstairs to my room with Mr. Haas and myself, and I took the laundry bag in which my soiled laundry is always kept and emptied it out on the bed, and they examined each and every article of clothing that I had discarded that past week, and I again opened the clothing which I was then wearing, and which was the brown suit which I have here. This brown suit, Defendant's Exhibit 49, is the same suit I wore that Saturday, April 26th, and Monday, April 28th, and I have worn that suit continuously since then, until the weather became so hot, and it has neither been pressed nor cleaned since then, and I show it to you for your examination. The detectives were evidently perfectly well satisfied with what they had seen there, and of course they left without any further remarks with Mr. Haas. I went downstairs and conversed with my folks down there until dinner time, which was served to my father-in-law and my mother-in-law, my wife and myself, by Manola McKnight. About that time, Mr. and Mrs. Wolfsheimer came in and conversed with us, Mr. Wolfsheimer telling me that he would take me downtown that afternoon in his automobile. After dinner, I telephoned down to the office and telephoned to Mr. Schiff and told him to get Mr. Montag's permission for the pencil company to put on a detective, preferably a Pinkerton detective, to work with and assist the city detectives in ferreting out the crime, as an evidence of the interest in this matter which the National Pencil Company was taking. I thought it was no more than we ought to do, and I also told Mr. Schiff I would be downtown between 2:30 and 3. After conversing with my folks, I went around the corner to Mr. Wolfsheimer's house and got in his automobile, and he took me downtown to his place of business, which is situated on Whitehall Street near Mitchell, and I got out of the automobile there and walked over to the Forsyth Street plant of the pencil factory, and on going into the office I saw the following men there: Mr. Herbert Schiff, Mr. Wade Campbell, Mr. Darley, Mr. Hole.